Welcome to Lockdown Trivia, the Unlock Your Brain podcast quiz show. My name is Dalton McGee, and I'll be your host as we choose four expert categories of our players and explore them together as we try to unlock this trivia game one key at a time. This week's episode in our Season 2 finale features Brian Irving from Springfield, Illinois. His expert categories are Nintendo, Marvel Comics, 90s One-Hit Wonders, and Dragon Ball Z. Sign up for your own episode of Lockdown Trivia following the link in the description of each and every episode. You can play by yourself or bring a friend for a competitive or cooperative game. Now let's get started. I decided you would be a wonderful Season 2 finale.
Okay.
So you are following in Russ's footsteps.
For oh, that. Lord almighty. All right.
He was the Season 1 finale.
Okay.
I wanted to keep it local to Springfield. I also know you have quite the reputation in the trivia community there and thought you'd be a really fun last guest for the season.
Well, let's hope I can live up to the expectations.
Thanks for being the Season 2 finale. The Springfield, Illinois folk will know you because they have lost to you many times in trivia.
And I've lost to them many times, too. It goes around. So
yes. All right, Brian. Lockdown Trivia. Thanks for being here. Where do you want to start your game?
Let's start with the unlock question in the No Mario Nintendo.
No Mario in this category. Here's your unlocked Nintendo question. You'll need to knock Charmeleon into a pool of lava to evolve him into Charizard and take a picture of him. And what N64 game that got a sequel on the Nintendo Switch?
I believe that is Pokemon Snap.
Pokemon Snap is correct.
Yes.
Yes.
And, at the time it came out, my girlfriend's sister was playing it a lot, so we would just watch her play it. I don't remember that, but I remember, you know, the main premise of that game was to take the picture. So I was like, all right, I've got to be Pokemon Snap.
Then. Yep, fair enough. All right, you got a key, Brian. After two seasons, and you got a key. Where do you want to go with it?
Let's continue on with the one key question in No Mario Nintendo.
Your next question is this. What female protagonist uses a powered exoskeleton that is equipped with an arm cannon that fires directed energy weapons and missiles?
Can't wait for this next game to come out. That is Samus Aran from Metroid.
That is correct. Now, am I in the minority that I spent the first part of my life thinking Samus was a boy, or is that a very common misconception?
The instruction manual for the first game referenced Samus as he. In some
oh, really?
Of the materials. It did. Yeah, so it was kind of a surprise. I mean, it's kind of been an open secret since the first game, because the people beat it quick enough that they're, but it wasn't really as well known as it is now. Like, now you see her through the visor, like, they don't try and hide
Zero Suit
the fact
Samus is on Ultimate, so that's very feminized. Yes.
Oh, yeah, Zero Suit Samus for sure. But yeah, that first game, it was shocking because there weren't really any female protagonists in games back then like that.
Yeah.
So,
Brian, you got two keys. There.
Let's go to the two key Mario. No Mario,
right.
I should say.
Yeah, no Mario.
No Mario.
Category. Here is your two key question. Praised by some as the spiritual follow-up to Super Mario 64, what 3D platformer had its two titular characters become a playable character in the Super Smash Bros. Ultimate DLC?
So titular two, Super Mario 64... Oh, is this Banjo-Kazooie?
It is Banjo-Kazooie.
Okay. I'm like sitting there thinking, I'm like, man, spiritual. I'm like, oh, wait, platformers on the 64. Okay, yeah.
Yes, okay. Banjo-Kazooie. The kind Banjo, the bear, and the foul-mouthed bird, Kazooie.
Kazooie, yep.
Yes, that is correct. I'm glad you got to that. It was an aha moment. I could see it on your face.
I always forget that that's two separate characters. And then I'm like, oh, wait, no, that is. It's two separate characters.
Yeah. So. All right, Brian, you're rolling so far.
All right, let's go to the three-key question for No Mario Nintendo.
Let's see what's up next. Princess What's-Her-Name, Queen Slug for a Butt, and Bob the Killer Goldfish are all characters in what absurd platformer whose titular character is part of the phylum Annelida?
Unless I'm mistaken, I believe that is Earthworm Jim.
Earthworm Jim is correct, yes.
God, that's a great game.
I have not played it, but after reading about it and seeing the character names, I'm now very convinced I will be playing this game.
It is, as they say, one of the most absurd platformers that they made back then. So,
well, Brian, you have about 1,000 so far in your No Mario Nintendo category. Do you want to try to finish it off with a sweep?
Yeah, might as well try and finish it for the four key.
All right, here's your hypothetically hardest No Mario Nintendo question. So they're finally here performing for you. If you know the answers, you can join in too. Name four of the five members of the DK crew in Donkey Kong 64.
Okay, Donkey Kong 64. So Donkey Kong, Cranky Kong, Candy Kong. And is Diddy Kong in there? Oh, wait. Okay. So let's go. Cranky Kong, Donkey Kong, Candy Kong, and Funky Kong.
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to mark that incorrect. I actually did fact check because there are similar characters, but they are not the same. The five members of the DK crew in that game are Donkey Kong, Diddy Kong, Lanky Kong, Tiny Kong, and Chunky Kong.
Oh, okay.
So I think the Donkey and Diddy were probably the two that were... Okay, there's the two of the four, but yeah. What are the other ones?
There's been so many. It's
there
just
have been, yes. And one of the better theme songs of any Nintendo game, in my opinion, there. So.
And that, you say, that was one of the ones that I didn't play a lot, too, so that makes... I mean, that was kind of... That was going to be tough.
All right. Well, Brian, unfortunately, I have to take your keys, but you did very well in the category, and you have plenty of places to restart. Where would you like to go next?
Let's jump down to the unlock question in Marvel Comics.
Marvel Comics, not the movies, although we may reference them, not the TV shows, although I guess it's possible to reference them, just the comics. Here is your unlocked question. Decades before his movie cameos, who was often inserted into comics, such as in Fantastic Four Annual Number 3 in 1965, when he and Jack Kirby are literally turned away from Reed and Sue's wedding?
That would be one Stanley Lieber, better known as Stan Lee.
Stan Lee is correct. May he rest in peace.
Yes.
I guess I wasn't surprised to see he had been put in so many comics, but it didn't even occur to me that he would have been doing that all along, too.
Well, and there used to be, like, the back when they do, like, the reader, like, mail and stuff, they would do, he'd, like, do the Excelsior. He was always printed in the back of that, too, for a long time, in the back of, the mail letters, so.
Fair enough.
I don't know if he answered him directly, but he was always in the back of most of them back in the day.
Well, we're back to our winning ways, and you have a key again. Where do you want to go?
Let's go the one key Marvel.
All right, we're going to keep rolling up Marvel now. Your one key question is this. What member of the Avengers originally spoke in faux Elizabethan Shakespearean English in the comics to emphasize his origins, for the writers toned it down to make him sound more modern?
I mean, I would... have to think that would be Thor on there.
Final answer?
It was Thor.
Yeah, it is Thor. Yeah. That is correct. It would be weird if Tony Stark spoke in Shakespeare.
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. I was like, the only one that talked like a goofball beginning is Thor. Yeah.
Yes, that is correct. And you have two keys. I don't want to assume, but you're doing well in this category again.
Let's go two key Marvel.
All right. Your next question is this. Deadpool in 1991 was originally a tongue-in-cheek parody of what DC character that is one of the primary antagonists of the Teen Titans?
That is... trying to make sure that I get the right one. I believe that is Deathstroke.
Also known as Slade Wilson. Slade Wilson. Deathstroke is correct. Well done.
Yeah, because there's two assassins in DC, and I was like, okay, which one's which, but yeah.
Yeah, I was worried that would have been a very mean two-key question if you knew nothing about DC, but I'm glad you got it.
Yeah, yep.
All right, where to?
Let's do the three-key Marvel.
All right, back to Marvel, I promise. The company now known as Marvel Comics started in 1939 as Timely Comics and changed to Marvel Comics in the early 60s, but what was it called between those two names?
I believe it was called... Atlas Comics.
I believe you have four keys again, Brian Irving. Yes, Atlas Comics is correct. Yeah. It was only that it sent like a couple years, it felt like.
Yeah, it was, because they were releasing, like, they weren't releasing superhero comics at the time because there was a downswing. So even DC, both of them were doing, I think Atlas was when they started like doing the horror comics, like the EC stuff. And then once they got back into Marvel, then they were like, oh, we have a resurgence of superheroes. Okay. Then got like Fantastic Four and all that fun stuff.
I'm going to assume where you're going next.
Let's finish it off with that four key question. And see if I do better on this one.
I am going to assume, because I'm excited about this one. It is a remarkable fact that I encountered in researching your game, and I hope you love it as much as I did.
Okay.
One of Marvel's first characters, only one Marvel character has appeared in three separate movies with three different ratings. Name the actor who played this character on those three occasions.
One of the first characters. Does that make sense? I mean, the first ever one was a form of the Human Torch. But it wasn't the Human Torch that we know now. It was a robot. But he was Human Torch in Deadpool and Wolverine, which was rated R. I'm gonna say Chris Evans. Because I think, I mean, that's
this category, Brian. It is Chris.
Because I'm like sitting there going, I'm like, okay, Human Torch, but he wasn't human. So which one? Wait a minute. So Deadpool Wolverine,
he was, it was rated R. And his PG movie was Fantastic Four. And his PG-13 movie was Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer.
I didn't realize the first Fantastic Four was PG. Okay. That makes sense. Okay. I was thinking that, but.
I saw that fact and I was like, ain't no damn way I'm not putting that in this game.
That's pretty good. I did not realize that was a PG movie. I figured they were just all PG-13.
You can steal that for one of your trivia games. Just make sure it's after January 28th. Brian, congrats. You swept your Marvel Comics category, and now you have as many keys as you need to do anything you want. So now the strategy will come in. What do you want to do with them?
Oof. You know what? Since I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I know what.
Since I don't know what it is, let's go with the Dragon Ball Z unlocked question.
Going to test the waters.
Yes.
I told him I wasn't going to give him any warning on this one. I usually give my guests a warning on what the categories are. This one is a little special. I also learned in researching that all the Super Saiyan names in Dragon Ball Z are puns of vegetables.
Vegetables. Yep.
Yeah, and apparently Dragon Ball Z people know this, but I love this.
Yep.
So, Vegeta, for example, is vegetable, whatever.
Vegetable, yep.
Yep. I don't want you to yap too much because you might accidentally spoil a question. Okay. But in this round, I'm going to give you a clue that is describing a vegetable. You have to tell me which Super Saiyan has a punned name of that vegetable. So, for example, if I described vegetables generically, you would say Vegeta as your answer.
Okay, I gotcha.
So if you know Dragon Ball Z listeners, you're going to love this category. If you don't know it, at least try to get the vegetable right and let Brian do his thing. Are you ready?
I'm as ready as I'm going to be. We'll see.
Your unlocked clue is this. An orange root vegetable, crunchy and slightly sweet, rich in beta carotene, commonly eaten raw, cooked, or juiced.
So that would be the Saiyan name of Kakarot, who is also Son Goku.
Yes, carrots are the pun behind Kakarot, and Goku is the main character, hence our unlocked question. Now that you know what that category is, will you make different strategic choices with all your keys?
You know what? Let's go to the four-key question in Dragon Ball Z.
Just
do it. Let's see.
He's sending it, the hypothetically hardest clue. I'm looking for a Saiyan's name. Here's the vegetable description. A long, thin root vegetable used in Japanese cuisine. Earthy flavor, often sliced very thin and stir-fried.
I think this is some form of radish, so I'm going to say raddits on this one.
Unfortunately, this is not a radish.
Ah!
The Japanese root that is long and thin and used in stir-fries is called a burdock root.
Bardock.
Bardock.
His dad.
Yes. Yep,
I'm like sitting there going, I'm like, baby. So, all right.
Good guess. But Bardock is the answer to this one. So, unfortunately, I will have to take your keys, though I feel very strongly that we'll be getting back to this category. Where would you like to go next?
Well, let's go to the unlocked 90s one hit wonder and start anew.
All right. In this category, I have given ChatGPT a very famous lyric from a 90s one hit wonder and asked it to rewrite it, so that it is familiar to a listener, but definitely not the same. I think you're going to love this category. It will explain itself with this unlocked clue. Here is your first clue. I'm a fan of... what I'm looking for is the artist behind the song. I guess I probably should have said that. I want the artist.
Gotcha. Artist.
Twin City Trivia style. Let's do it. I'm a fan of curves, that's true. And my fellas all agree too. When she struts by with a tiny little frame and a bold round shape, I'm in the game.
Oh, that is fantastic. That is a rewritten Baby Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Sir Mix-a-Lot is correct. And now, do you want to continue with this degenerate 90s one-hit wonders category or go back to your Veggie Saiyan category?
Let's keep going with the 90s one-hit wonders for one key.
I'm flattered that you enjoyed that enough to pick this over Dragon Ball Z.
That was funny. I like that.
All right. Your one-hit wonder. And these all rhyme, by the way. This is totally song lyrics. Anyway, okay. Your one key clue is this. Last call now. Time for you to step out. Head on toward the life you dream about. Last call now. These doors will stay closed till your family or your closest friends show.
That sounds a lot like Closing Time by Semisonic.
Semisonic is correct, yes.
Semisonic, if you will, yeah.
Semi. If you will, yes. All right, two keys again, Brian. Where to?
Let's continue with one-hit wonders and the two-key.
Your two-key clue is this. That was funny. Okay, your two-key clue is this. If it wasn't for old hollow-eyed Jack, I'd have settled down, no looking back. Where did you wander? Where did you stray? Where did you vanish, Jack, that day?
That is a fantastic reinterpretation of Cotton Eye Joe, and if I remember correctly, that is by the Rednecks.
Rednecks with an X is correct.
Yes, with an X, yep.
See, that would have been a lower key question, except that I don't think the average person can pull Rednecks. I think we just all know that song.
Rednecks is a weird, yeah, it's more, you know, the song than the actual group. And they've done, and there's a few versions of it, but of the original is, yeah, that was the Rednecks version, I should say. Yeah,
well, that's, don't forget, Cotton Eye Joe's there, but so is Old Hollow Eyed Jack.
Yes.
Anyway, three keys now, Brian.
All right, let's hit the three key 90s one hit wonder.
I promise it actually gets challenging from here. Okay. Okay. Your three key clue is this. So don't decide from what's on the outside. There's more than charm in a daring stride. You've got to learn to handle the fire. When she won't let go, that's the toll for walking the lover's road.
You probably should, but I'm just going to have to say we'll go to the Proclaimers.
I almost put them in this category. I'm looking for Gerardo's Rico Suave.
Yeah, but that's early now. Okay.
It is early, yes.
Half of it's someone, it's Hispanic.
Yeah, but that part's in English, and I stay true to that.
That part is in English, but I'm like, okay, I would have never even thought, yeah, there's no way I would have gotten, yeah.
Fair enough.
No way.
All right. Unfortunately, I do have to take your keys, and now we play Fair a bonus enough. Key game. You only need one key, however, to get back to your expert categories, and I know you're excited for it. So the question is, which bonus key do you want to go to first to try to get that key?
Let's try Who in the World.
I'm looking for a stage name. Here is your clue. This musical artist, born Stanley Kirk Burrell in 1962, served 3 years in the U.S. Navy before releasing his first album, and has single letters and numbers in the titles of some of his biggest songs.
Man, that stuff. That's... I'm going to go Lou Bega, even though I not... No, that's not right.
Unfortunately, it is not. You are correct about that. I'm looking for the artist behind You Can't Touch This, or Too Legit to Quit. This is MC
Hammer.
Oh, damn
it, MC Hammer. All right.
Yes.
Brain fart.
No worries. Bonus keys are tough, and you only need one of them to get back into the questions that I know you'll do better in than bonus keys. Which one do you want to take on next?
Let's do Before and After.
I love Before and After. Here we go. Here's your clue. A regional American cuisine that originates from the culinary creations of Tejanos people, plus a 2014 sci-fi thriller starring Alicia Vikander and Oscar Isaac.
So that's... Oh, okay. I was... For some reason, I had... The first part of that movie was Deus, but it's just Ex Machina. So this would be Tex-Mex Machina?
Yeah, Tex-Mex Machina is correct.
Jeez. Oh, my God. Oh, they said Deus, it's just Ex Machina. Okay.
You got your key, Brian, and you can go back to Dragon Ball Z if you'd
like. Yeah, let's do the one key Dragon Ball Z.
All right, here is your question, or your clue, rather. Back to the veggies. Your one key clue is this. A crisp, peppery root vegetable that can be red, white, or purple, often eaten raw in salads or pickled.
If I would have done this question first, I would have probably not got four wrong.
Yeah.
Now, this is the radish, so this is Raditz.
Raditz is correct. Yes, radish is that veggie. And you're back and feeling good about this category. Do you want to keep going?
Yeah, let's do the two key for Dragon Ball Z.
Your next veggie is this. Tender green vegetables with a nutty, slightly bitter taste. Delicious grilled, roasted, or steamed, and served with lemon or butter.
Yeah, I'm going through my sand right now, so it's... Oh, is this broccoli? So this would be Broly?
Brian, unfortunately, it is not.
Oh, is it Napa?
It is not. It is a tender green stemmed vegetable frequently served with lemon or butter is asparagus. And paragus is one of the Saiyans.
Oh, that's a deep cut.
It is a deep cut.
That's a deep cut. Okay.
Unfortunately, I will have to take your keys again, and now our back is against it. We can get to every question on the board, but it will require you get every single bonus key correct. So, since we have to get to them, which one do you want to take on first?
Let's do Stormy Trivia.
Something I think you should know. We both love Nintendo, and I have a favorite character from Nintendo, and so we're going back to that realm. Here is your question. What 2D generic stick figure character is actually an amalgamation of characters from his series of games and predates Pac-Man by a few weeks in the game Ball?
Well, that's, I believe... It's the first set of handheld games that Nintendo did. I believe this is, since you like Super Smash Bros., I'm going to say this is Game & Watch.
Yeah, Mr. Game & Watch is correct. You're one down, two to go. Okay. Nail biter.
I know. Let's do that National Blank Day. Let's see what blueberry pancakes are coming.
Yeah, it's Pancake Day. I will admit I ignored the blueberry part, but it is Pancakes
Fair
Day.
Enough.
While ancient humans created pancake-like dishes, the first written history of sweet modern pancakes can be attributed to what ancient civilization that was a world power from the Bronze Age to the Hellenistic era?
I mean, Bronze to Hellenistic makes me think Greeks.
The Greeks will continue your game, Brian. The Greeks made it with flour, olive oil, and honey in most cases.
Ooh.
So, Greek pancakes, and now it's time for the Billboard Buster, and we will see if we get back.
Here we go.
I know. The last one of Season 2, a good time for me to mention there are changes coming in Season 3. For example, in Season 1, we had When in the World, and in Season 2, we have Who in the World. Coming in Season 3, next Lockdown episode that we'll release, we'll have What in the World.
In the World.
Yes. And then we had Deep Cuts. We've had a season of Billboard Busters. Next season, this is very exciting for me. We're going to have the musical mystery. And in this bonus key, each individual guest will have no idea what's going on. But as the episodes release, all the musical artists will have something in common, and it will be the listener's game to see if they can figure out what that is. I've actually removed from the form for signups your favorite music genre because it don't matter. You're going to have to deal with the musical mystery for season three.
That actually sounds like a lot of fun.
It's going to be a blast. But your question is our last Billboard Buster, and here it is. Who is the only rapper to have two sets of double letters in their stage name and three number one hits on the Billboard Hot 100?
I would have to say that would be LL Cool J.
Brian, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it is not LL Cool J.
Oh, no.
I will confirm to make sure that he doesn't have three number one hits.
So is it Snoop Dogg then?
It is Snoop Dogg.
Dang it.
Cool J, Billboard. Unless the drum roll. If he has three number one hits, I'll eat my shoe. He has one number one hit.
Okay, fair enough.
Yep. Brian, I am so glad you came on. I think you had a very fun game that was very playable for everyone, so I appreciate that.
You will finish
today with, counting is hard. 17 points.
17.
Yep. A passing score and a good score because there were some brutal questions in your game. Thank you for being a good sport, and thank you for finishing season two off for us. It's a big milestone, and I'm glad to have had you.
My pleasure.
What do you have coming up? This is when I actually will say, where can people find you?
So, as always, I host Wednesday nights at Hand of Fate in Petersburg, Illinois. And then every other Saturday, I'm doing either music bingo or trivia at It's All About Wine in Springfield. And then other than that, every place where they have trivia, you might catch me playing.
Yep. Sundays at Boone's or Thursdays at Anvil. Brian's around.
Yes.
So whether you want to answer his trivia questions or yell at him because he answered ones you didn't know, He is around. I will say also, as a completely unpaid vouch, Hand of Fate's Double Bean is my favorite beer in Central Illinois.
They are one of the better brewers, and I don't know that I've found a beer that I haven't liked from them yet. So they do a very good job in their brewing, and it's a good place.
Brian, thanks for coming. Thanks for ending season two. And thank you, everybody, again for listening to another season of Lockdown. Next season is going to be a blast. Some big names, big changes, and excitement coming. So we will see you after 3 weeks of break, and we'll come back refreshed and ready to go for season three. Brian, thank you so much for being on the season two finale. I wanted to keep it in the family, as it were, with the Springfield, Illinois trivia royalty, and you did not disappoint. You are a joy. And the questions were hard this episode. So for those that were listening, if you felt like you were not in it as much, there was maybe a small part of me that was pushing Brian to see what he could do. And he was a great sport about it. And he got the last laugh, because at Trivia Bowl 2025, him and his team he played on, Your Mother's a Terrible Cook, who my best friend in the world, Mackenzie Joy, is the captain of, got second at Trivia Bowl. And I, with the cunning stunts, did not. Brian really is great, and I was glad he's on lockdown. There was really one learning moment from this episode. It felt weird listening because of the way I edited it. I had the best read of the question not saying stemmed vegetables. So if you felt like Brian got cheated on the asparagus question, or paragus, the correct answer there, he did actually get told it was stemmed. That just did not make the final cut. And so I feel a little bit okay about that, even though it might have seemed like that was a very hard question. He got told stemmed, and broccolis do have stem, but asparagus are more stemmed. I don't know. That was probably a question that could have been worded better, but he was a great sport about it. I'm really excited for you guys to see what season three has in store. There's all kinds of changes coming. You heard a few of them in this episode. Great new players coming that you have either never heard of or love dearly. And then after season three, we're buckled up for the lockdown tournament. Now, what is that? Players that have participated in the first three seasons in a solo game of lockdown will be ranked based on their final score. They'll be put into a single elimination bracket, and those that accept, I'm hoping all of them, will go into a competitive lockdown tournament for season four. That's the entire season. It's going to be a single elimination tournament. The winner is going to get a significant trophy. I can't get too crazy with money because the FCC will get involved, but all participants will get a gift as they get invited, and then the winner will get a significant trophy. And I can't wait for it. It's going to be a blast, and I'm just so glad that you guys have been a part of this with me up to this point. What's fun is the three seasons of 23 episodes, my favorite number, followed by one season of a lockdown tournament, which is to be named. A 32-team bracket is 31 episodes. And let you do the math for a second. 23 plus 23 plus 23 plus 31 equals an even 100 episodes. And I think that's really special. So the grand finale of the tournament will be episode 100. And I intend to keep that trend going forward. I don't know if there will be a short break after season four, or if there'll be a longer Game of Thrones cliffhanger break after it. But right now, we're recording. We're having a good time. For those that have signed up for lockdown and not heard back yet, this is the moment where I finally have a chance to breathe. You can expect me to reach out, and we're going to get that organized and get you on the show. I am so grateful for the support. If you haven't done so already and are able, I would greatly appreciate a donation to the Venmo or Cash App that are in the bio of each episode. The work that us hosts do, not just me, but all the hosts that are out there for trivia, particularly my friends, you know, Russ Friedwald with Tangents and all those hosts in the PTE network. This is something we do for joy, not something we do for money. But man, does it feel good when we get the money. Please support your podcast writers and hosts. If you've got $5, it's a coffee. If you've got $500, it's a lot of coffee. We do a lot of work, whether it's me, whether it's anyone else that you really enjoy their show. Please find someone to support as your resolution for 2026. Your trivia writers and hosts are busting their asses, and almost all of us do it as a labor of love, because it's not a particularly well-paying venture. And so if you are so inclined, please click the Venmo or Cash App link in the description. I promise to spend that money either on coffee or beer. And what else do you want from me? Guys, thanks for listening. Brian, thanks for playing. And we've got one more bonus question. Our bonus question from this episode comes from the non-Mario Nintendo category, and it is this. A super-colored Game & Watch video game released in 1984. What game with a rhyming title has the titular animals moving towards you trying to pinch you? If three of them pinch you, it'll result in a game over. While you're thinking of that, I want to thank Brian and all the participants of Season 2 one more time. Keith, Joe, Natalie, Scott, Jane, Mike, Chris, Irene, Darren, Joseph, Sam, Vicky, Lexi, Albert, Mike, Brandon, Luke, Jeff, Adam, Paul, Brittany, Brandon, Ben, David, Matt, Sarah, Jeremy, and Brian. You guys made Season 2 very special, and I cannot wait for Season 3. The correct answer to the last bonus question of Season 2 is Crab Grab. New episodes every Wednesday morning, so check back each week for some more fun. In the meantime, I cannot wait to continue to write, continue to learn, and continue to unlock your brains one key at a time. No blooper this episode, just because we were very efficient in recording. I will mention that I said that Brian and Kenzie and Your Mother's a Terrible Cook beat us at Trivia Bowl. By the way, that team also included Sam, Vicky, and Lexi, who were on earlier this season. But when I say they beat us, they didn't just beat us. They beat our ass. And I was pissed. 4 hours. See you in Season 3, guys.